Lord, we thank you and we love you and we bless you. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us free, Lord. Let us use the wisdom of God to stay free, not to get caught up in any type of bondage or sin or anything that's not pleasing to you, Lord. But let us live free as men and women and children of God. Now, Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, broken, and decaying world. God, we need the light of your word. It tells us how to talk, how to walk, how to speak, how to live, how to love, how to forgive. It tells us everything, Lord. We don't have to guess on how to live. Your word makes it plain. It's our GPS. It's our roadmap on how to navigate and live a victorious Christian life. Speak to us now, Lord. We open our hearts and our ears to hear, not only hear, but to discern what God is speaking to the church this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a Father's Day message. We take a pause from our wilderness message. Father's Day message, although it's kind of geared towards fathers, but you know it's for everybody. God's word is for everybody. Mankind, so that's men and women included, but it does have an emphasis on a father. So we're going to get to 28 and 9, but let's look back to 28 and look at verse 6. 6 through 8. And this is Solomon. Okay, let me set the scene just a little bit. This is Solomon's last will and testament. King Solomon is about to take over the kingship from his dad, King David. David is about to die, and this is his last words, his last actions before he dies. And just think about it, men, or anyone, you're getting ready to transition and you know it. What do you do? How do you act? What do you say? So David, he did a few things. He spoke to his leaders. He spoke to his congregation. Then he spoke to his son. Then he talked about how to build God's house, the temple, how to live. Then he prayed and worshiped. Then he had a worship service. And then he transitioned. That's a nice way to go out. Somebody say amen. And for us, make a note, those of you that take notes, that we must be about our job now is three things. And I've been saying this over and over again as a Christian. So you never have to ask, what is your purpose? Three things we are here for. Number one, love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Love our neighbor as ourself, and then make disciples. So everything else is your job, your home, your school, your kids. All that is mixed in with that. That's what we're here for. When you go to work, you should be thinking about, am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? And am I trying to make a disciple somewhere? When our youngsters go to school and go to college, it's not about having a party. And we talked about it last time, where your blood alcohol level is higher than your GPA. It's not about that. It's about somebody on that campus needs to hear from Jesus Christ, and we need to make a difference. Amen. Everything else is inconsequential to those three things: loving God, loving your neighbor, and then making disciples. Everything else is a distraction from what our purpose is. So you don't ever have to guess, young folks. You don't have to ask. You don't have to guess, what is my purpose in life? Those are your three main purposes. Everything else is just a distraction. So we must be about, those of you taking notes, make a note that we must be about the Great Commission until we transition. What am I supposed? You should be about the Great Commission until you transition. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus said, go and make disciples. Tell others about me. And here we are in a church 2018 years later, and our mission has not changed. We have to be about the Great Commission until we transition to be with God. All right. So that's what David's doing his last few moments on earth. So we pick it up in verse 6, 28 and 6. So God is speaking to David, and he said unto me, Solomon, your son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Underline that. God has chosen Solomon to be his son. He was, he said, Solomon's your son, but I've chosen him to be my son, and I'm going to be his father. Amen? We got that. All right? And we're going to go a lot deeper a little bit later. Look at Psalms 27 and 10. You're going to see a theme in this. Psalms 27 and 10. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say hold up. Psalms 27 and 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will adopt me.
Amen. Thank you.
Huh. So God told David that Solomon is going to be his son. God is telling, he told David here, he's telling us here, that even if you don't have a mother and father, I've adopted you. Look at Matthew 26. In 42. Matthew 26 and 42. We went over this a couple of weeks ago. This is Jesus speaking when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 and 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father. Underline, O my Father. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. In other words, Father, if this is a tough situation and I can't get out of it, then even in the tough times, God is still your Father. And remember, make a note, some things we have to go through. As much as I'd like to go around or up or under it, some things we have to go through. So we're going to come back to that, but God is letting us know that whether you had a father or whether you didn't have a father, now he is our father, and we need to reflect God in everything that we do. Go back to 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. And so, men, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Whether you had a father or not, as a born-again Christian, you do have a father. And I can't use not having a father as an excuse for the way that I act, because I do have a father because I'm born again. And I need to act like my father acts, which is in heaven. So there's no reason for me not to treat my wife the way that God's called me to because of the way my father raised me. No, because I have a new father and he's raising me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And to raise my kids and to be there for my kids and to love my neighbor. No more excuses, men. About, well, you don't know how I was raised and what my dad. It doesn't matter anymore. It does, but it doesn't. You've been born again. And we can quote the scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but live like the man that he's called me to be.
Yes.
It's no more excuses. We can't hide behind the excuse, if I would have had a father, I'd be different. Well, you do have a father. Do you choose to be different? Because God says, and we're going to get deeper into it, God says, you do have a father, and I'm your father. He told David, Solomon's going to be my son, and I'm going to be his father. God changed the game. God eliminates all excuses. God eliminates all excuses. If you're born again, if you're not born again, then you, this doesn't apply to you. But for those of us that say, God is my father, and I've been born again, then we need to live like it. And it needs to reflect. Yes. in everything that we do. So here we go, 28 and 9. So this is Solomon. Remember, he's getting ready to die. He just spoke to the leadership. God spoke to him and said, Solomon is my son now. Don't even worry about it. As you transition, don't worry about it, because Solomon is my son. And I'm his father, and I'm going to take care of him. But then David has a conversation with his son. Men, think about that. I don't know. What are you going to tell your son when you're getting ready to pass? Probably the same thing we should be telling him now, because we don't know when we're going to pass. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Pause right there. Wow. He didn't tell him just know God. Know the God of the universe. He didn't tell him that. He said, know the God of your father. And so if I'm telling my son, little man, you need to know the God that I serve. He said, well, Dad, who is it? Because I see you one way at church, but I see you a totally different way at home. I'm confused. Only time I see you open the Bible is at church, Dad. But then I see you on Instagram, and you spend most of your time on Facebook and watching the stories and watching the ESPN guy. I don't know. Who is your God? See, that's a game changer. He said, know the God of your father. Know the God that I serve. That changed the game. Because in Solomon, he has to try and determine what God is my dad serving. So that's the first thing he told him. He told him to know the God of your father. And that word know, in the Hebrew, when you break it down, is to know by experience, an acquaintance, acknowledge, get to know the God of your father by experience. How do you do that? Well, you study the word, you pray, you fellowship, you fast. Get to know God. And God, Elohim, the Trinity, in Hebrew, that's the God, the plural, believe that or not, it's the Trinity. Get to know the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then he tells him, serve him. Serve means to work. Work for him with a loyal, complete, peaceful heart. That's what perfect means. It doesn't say try and be perfect. That word in the Hebrew. Work for God with a loyal heart. Give God your heart completely. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Man, this is what he's telling his son before he passes away. And he says, in a willing, a delightful mind. Willingly serve God. This is not a list of do's or don'ts. God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Serve God delightfully and a complete loyal heart. It says, for the Lord search all hearts. The word search in the Hebrew means to investigate. So as we're doing this thing, he says, God is investigating our heart to see if our heart is really connected to God's heart. Father to son relationship. Connect your heart to God's heart. God is searching. God is investigating the heart. You can play a player. You can fool a fool. You can con a con, but you can't mock God. It doesn't happen. He's telling, man, God is investigating your heart. Don't play with God. He said, God understands all the imaginations of your thought. God knows the motives of your thoughts, the purpose of your, what does it say right here? God knows the purpose of your motives. God discerns the purpose of your, I can't even, what's your motive? God understands the purpose of your motive. When you're at home, when you're at the job, when you're at work, and you're introducing yourself to somebody, God understands the purpose of your motive. He's already investigated your heart. And it's, look, man, don't play with God, because he knows the purpose of your motive. He know why you went over there and said, hey, my name is, good to meet you. Yeah, he already knows. He knows the purpose of your heart. Oh, God, help us. He's talking to his son. Look, son, I'm getting ready to check out of here, but I got to let you know about the God I serve. Number one, this is the way you need to serve him, and this is why. Because he knows everything about you and he still loves you. He's already called you his son. And he's your father. He knows everything. He loves you that much. And he knows the purpose of your motives. Now make a note. David, what separated David from, let's say, even from his son Solomon? Because Solomon started off good, but then he just got lost. He couldn't. God can choose you, but you don't have to follow. You don't have to choose to follow God. All right, let's make that clear. All right, because we have free will. We're not robots. God can choose you, but you don't have to choose to follow God. So, Pastor, does that mean you can lose your salvation? I didn't say you can lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. But that's between you and God, because God already investigates your heart to know if you really. So that's what I can't even go there. That's way out of my way above. I don't even have a pay grade, but that's way above. Okay. That's between you and God, whether you're saved or not. You know if your heart's connected to God or not. You know if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But even with that, it's your choice to serve God and sell out 100% to God. But make a note of David, as remarkable as his sin was, his repentance was just as remarkable. If you're not sure, read Psalms 51 when he was convicted after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Oh, and it was so many consequences with that. Please don't get yourself chained up and strings attached to anything, because you're going to have to deal with the consequences, even though God delivered him and restored him. But it was still a lot of consequences that came with it. Because his son could say, man, you can't speak up on me, because do I have to bring up what you did? But that's why God said, tell him I'm his father now. So he can't blame David for his lifestyle, because he has a different father. And you can't blame your father for your lifestyle, because you have a different father. Regardless of what he was or he wasn't, if he was there or he wasn't there, or the lack thereof, it doesn't matter when you're in Christ. Yes, I mean, it does matter, but it doesn't matter. It's an excuse at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's an excuse. Because once I get finished blaming him, then I'm going to blame my mom about something. And I'm going to blame the church about something. I'm going to blame society about something. And then we try and get into this thing about the color of skin. It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. So we're going to blame everybody, and God saying, but I'm your father. I told you to renew your mind. I told you to give me your heart. And I can show you how to live this thing victoriously. So if you start blaming folks, you it's nowhere to stop, because there's always somebody. Hey, our students can tell you it's the teacher's fault. It's the teacher's fault. Then it's going to be the professor's fault. Then it's going to be the college fault. Then it's going to be somebody else's fault. Yeah, where do you stop? God says to stop right here. He's trying to tell Solomon, God's investigating your heart. He says, if you seek him to worship him, he will be found. But if you abandon him, he will cast you off. He will reject and remove you forever. Verse 10. It's an urgency to it. Take heed now. Get yourself together now. For the Lord has chosen you. Right now, the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And for us, we separate that. God has chosen us to love him, to love our neighbors, and to make disciples. Be strong and do it. That's what he's called us for. And because we are the temple now. We don't have to build the temple. God lives in us now. They were building the temple for the presence of God. God lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're the temple. We have to be strong and do what he called us to do. Verse 11, then David gave to Solomon, his son, the plan. Men, underline that, fathers. The father gave the son the plan, the blueprint, the roadmap on how to do it. He told God, serve God with a loyal heart. Stop making excuses. Have a read this, Sister Kathy. So I got to pause and read this. Serve God with a loyal heart. You and I are loyal to serving. You and I are loyal and serving something. Men, we will work on a job and neglect God and our families in the name of providing for them, both of them. We're serving something. Men, we will rearrange our schedules to watch our favorite football, basketball, or baseball team on Sunday, but we won't make any effort to be at church or to be at church on time on Sunday morning. You're serving something. We won't pay our tithes, but we'll donate to the college and the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts in an attempt to provide someone with an education as if education is more important than the gospel. We won't take 10 minutes to pray each morning, but we will listen to our favorite song and watch our favorite TV show or movies for hours. We won't read God's word, which shows us how to live a victorious life, but we will spend hours on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We can go to a rally, but we won't come to church for a revival. We'll represent the Me Too movement. But what about my God? He's the 3-in-1 master. You're going to serve something. You and I, we're serving something. You're loyal to something. David's telling his son to be loyal to God. We are loyal to something. And God doesn't have a problem with any of these things. God doesn't. But when they replace him as our God, then that's a major problem. God doesn't have a problem with us watching TV, going to movies, all that. God could care less about that. Love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples. Everything else is a platform to do that. But when it takes the place of God, then you're in trouble. So David told Solomon, I'm telling us this morning, present company included, we must rededicate our hearts and minds to Jesus Christ. Take heed, be strong, and do it. He says, do it now. And young folks, he says, do it now. Don't wait till you're older. Or don't wait till you stop doing something. Well, I got to stop doing. I can't serve God right now. I got to stop doing. No. Don't wait till you get older. And don't wait till you stop doing something. Because it never happens. Because there's no guarantee that we'll get older. And you know you can never stop on your own. You need God's help to stop whatever you're doing that's not like him. All right, here we go. So we get the pattern in verse 11. Gives his son the pattern. He's modeling. Fathers, we got a model for our sons. We got a model for our daughters. We got to give them the pattern. We got to give them the plan. We got to give them God's word. Make a note, we serve a God of detail, specifics, order, and timing. Look what it says in verse 11. David gave Solomon the pattern of the porch. And the house thereof, of the treasures thereof, of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Somebody say amen. Amen. Underline that mercy seat. But you see, he gave him the pattern for everything. Make a note, we serve a God of detail, order, specifics, and timing, judgment, and mercy. You just can't go around talking about God as love. Why would you need a mercy seat in the house of God if there's not any judgment? There's no need for a mercy seat if there's no judgment. Right. Well, God loves everybody. I was born like I could live any way I want to. God is love. No, he's light. And in him is no darkness at all. You can't build God's house without a mercy seat because there's judgment. And we've already established we were all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Yes. Ha ha. Amen. Read John 80. Jesus told him, you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. Make no mistake. See, the world is trying to taint us. Family, as I'm studying this stuff, I'm saying, God, give it to them just like you gave it to me. Amen. And if you don't expose the enemy, you're going to keep serving the enemy. We're not all children of God. We were all created by God, but we're not all children of God. And yes, God is love, but there's a God of judgment too. He said he's light and in him is no darkness at all. You can't be living and participating in darkness talking about you serving God. That's not true. And if the enemy's not exposed, then we keep sliding through. If you can't hear the truth in church, I don't know where you're going to hear it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're called to live at a higher level. The men, we've already been challenged to live at a higher level of biblical manhood. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we're trying to live this thing for real. And that's just the way it is. And I'm not going to let you come in here and slide and think that there is a God of love and there's not a God of judgment. There's a mercy seat for a reason, because we need it. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need Christ. We're going to stand before him. And if we're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we're going to be separated from him for all eternity. He's telling us, when you build the house of God, build a mercy seat. As the temple of God is in us, there has to be mercy in us too. Men, there has to be mercy. As you're dealing with your wife, mercy and grace and love. As you're dealing with your kids, mercy and grace and love. There has to be some mercy in your heart. Well, I'm a realist. I tell it like it is. Well, where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the love? Do you want God to be real with you and tell you like it is? Has to be some mercy in there. It has to be some compassion. When you're dealing with people, you don't really talk about them. You see them and your heart has to be filled with compassion. Come on, folks, you see it. When we're riding around the streets and we see people, it's one of the biggest differences. And I was born in the 60s, but I grew up in the 1970s. We used to have one guy who was a little off in the neighborhood, bless you. We would call him Flower Child, a product of the 70s. But everybody looked out for him, and we knew that something was wrong. I'm driving around the streets, and there's so many people out there. And you got to have some mercy. Your heart has to have, God, what can I do? What can we do? It's just so many, I don't know if it's mental illness or drugs or a combination of both, folks. You see it. And I'm going, what are we doing? And your heart has to be filled. If there's any ounce of God in you, your heart has to be filled with compassion. God, give me some wisdom on what we can do. When we have this food thing out here on Mondays, they come right here and get food. And we share the gospel with them. And we share love with them. And the food is just a disguise to meet people in our own community where this church is. It's somebody here. It's a church here that loves God. Amen. And there's a God that still loves you. Lady says, look, I'm a single mom with three kids. You all have no idea what this means to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we come out. And no, Monday's the same, but the mercy has to be there. The compassion for your community, the compassion for your church, for your kids, for your wife. Why are you upset with your wife? Where's the compassion? Why are you upset with your kids? It's not that serious. Those of us who've been around for a while, we know that it's temporary. Stop treating temporary stuff like it's permanent. So he gives him the pattern. Look at verse 12. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working back then. Pray for God. God, give me wisdom on how to deal with my kids. That's why we read the Proverbs every morning. Make a note, Proverbs 15 and 3. And we've been doing it for almost 3 years now. Every day we'll read a proverb. So on the 15th, I was reading 15:3, and it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It jacked me up like, oh, man. Well, God, you saw that one? You just heard what I said, and you just heard what I thought about it. Oh, man, God, you got to knock it off. But that's why I read.
Right.
So I know that my Father is watching me wherever I go. I can't. Why are you living like you don't have a father? And he's watching everything that you do. God's watching everything. So the wisdom of God keeps me in check. And keeps me repenting. God, forgive me. Okay, you investigate my heart. You heard what I just thought. Oh. Okay, Lord. I was just kidding. I know you. And I'm telling you. Hey, this thing be killing me, man. Hey, man, God, yeah, okay, Lord, yeah, I was just playing. And my kids, I told you about my girls, they just, Dad, you can't say that, you know. Dad, will you stop? JL just says, Dad, Now he's got to stop. But you know, it's the Spirit. God, lead me by your Spirit. But I don't know if I don't know your word. So make a note. We have to be fluent in the word. Our students and our youth have to be fluent in the word. They go to college, they're not fluent in the word, they're going to get eaten alive. We're paying thousands of dollars for our kids to get turned out in college because they're not fluent in the word. And youngsters, you can't go to college acting like you don't have a father. Somebody say amen. You cannot go to college acting like you don't have a father. Even if you didn't have a father, you've been born again and you have a father. And if you have a father, he's not going to be there. But your real father, your heavenly father, sees everything. So don't go to school. Don't go to work. Don't go to college acting like you don't have a father. Because you do. And make a note, Proverbs 15:3, now you're accountable. You know that he sees everything. So go do your thing then. So go in and do your thing. Knowing that God sees it all. I tried to go too deep here, but I wrote it, so maybe I should read it. We wouldn't need a mercy seat if there is no judgment. God is love, but he's also light and a God of justice. We will be held accountable for killing unborn babies and unborn life, calling it a choice when it's murder. We call it an affair or hooking up. God calls it adultery and fornication. You can change the name of it, but it's still sin. It was written there, Kathy, so I had to read it. All right, so let me wrap this up, okay? Well, I don't know how I'm going to wrap it up. But anyway, Psalm 68:5. Oh, my gosh. God, give it to them just like you gave it to me. Psalm 68:5. So now we shift. And God's speaking to us now. David spoke to his son. Now our father wants to speak to us. And we'll wrap this up as quick as I can. And you know me, I'm trying to study, but I'm all over the place. Did I say Psalm 68?
Yes.
All right, let's read 1-5. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. That's why when you start talking about God at your job, people are wherever you're at, some people just got to, they can't stand there. You know why now. But let the righteous be glad. Let them, the righteous are those that are living right. And it's only, we're only righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're not making this a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. I'm not trying to be better than you. I know it's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. But the righteous mean those that are living right, those that are trying their best to live right. Be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yeah, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Somebody say amen. Love singing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens. Now you know where God is. He's riding upon the heavens. By his name, Jah, which in the Hebrew is short for Jehovah. Jah is short for Jehovah God. And here's where I was trying to go. Verse 5. A father of the fatherless. Underline that. So if you're trying to say, well, I didn't have a daddy, that's why I'm like to stop. You have a father now. He's a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, which means a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God is in heaven in his holy habitation, and he's your father. And the widows, he's defending you. He's looking out for you because he loves you. That's the God that we serve. Men, there is no reason you can tell me, and I know the father wounds are real, but you have a new father. And don't live like you don't have a father. All right, let's go to Ephesians. We'll close it up with this. No, we won't. We've got something else to do. Let's go to Ephesians. I got to start. We're going to go quickly through this, I should say. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, and I'm just supposed to be reading 5, but you know I got to read 1 through 5, and even 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I love this word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us. Make a note, God's chosen us. But it doesn't mean that you choose God. You still have free will to reject it. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption. Oh, this is where I was trying to go. Having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ. Underline adoption. So God has adopted us by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You and I have been adopted by God. We are God's children. God is our Father, just like he told Solomon, just like Jesus cried out to him. Now we can cry out to him that same way because he is our Father. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved. We are accepted into the beloved, which means we have special honor and favor. He pursued us with grace and he surrounded us with favor. That's what acceptable means. We've been adopted. We've been predestined, which means it was determined beforehand. Acceptable. We have special honor, favor. He pursued us with grace and he surrounded us with favor. And beloved means he loved us dearly. All right, so I got some read this and I'm going to close this out really quickly. Amen. Here's a revelation. Men, we have to stop making excuses about how our earthly father have influenced us. Our earthly fathers have influenced us to be the men that we are. We have been born again and God is now our Father. And there is no excuse for us not reflecting Christ in every aspect of our life. The love, the light, the kindness, the greatness, the graciousness, the glory of our Heavenly Father in our homes, our marriages, our schools, our jobs, with our kids, and wherever else God allows us to go. Our Heavenly Father is our ultimate example because we have been born again. Let me say that again. Our Heavenly Father is our ultimate example because we've been born again. Men, don't go home today and pretend you don't know who your Father is. Family, don't go to work tomorrow and pretend you don't know who your family is. Men, don't you treat your wife like you don't know who your father is. Don't you treat your kids like you don't know who your father is. Said it before, I'll say it again because it's written here. Youth, do not go to school and to college and act like you don't know who your father is. Now I'm going to end the message now. Let's go back to Chronicles. Seriously, I'm really closing out now. Let me wrap this thing up for us. Let's go to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29 and 20. So he gives Solomon all these instructions. He tells him all the people that's going to help him. It's like our Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to see it so when you're there, say amen. 1 Chronicles 29 and 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Men, fathers, as we leave this place, we're going to be challenged to take on the old nature, the old man. God is telling us, be strong and of good courage and do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be flabbergasted or astonished because it's hard. Somebody say amen. The easiest time to serve God is between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning right in this place. It's the easiest time. I love this time. Easiest time to serve God. But God said, he's telling Solomon and David, and David's telling Solomon, be strong and of good courage. Stay strong. Stay connected to God. Keep the right attitude and do it. Don't be afraid to live for God. Don't be afraid to sell out to God 100%. Don't be astonished, for the Lord, even my God, underline and make it personal, my God, will be with you. God will never fail you. He won't never leave you. That's a father, right? That's why I can embrace God as my father. He will never fail you. He will never abandon you. Till you have finished all the work, until it's time for us to transition to his presence for the service of the house of the Lord. Men, there's no longer any excuse for us to continue to live like we don't have a father. Men, yes, we can live right, we can love right, we can serve right, we can forgive right. And that's where we'll stop this morning. So if you would, just bow your heads for just a quick minute. God has issued the challenge for us as men and fathers, for our women got the eavesdrop this morning on the conversation with the fathers. And ladies, God's challenged you to, don't you walk out of here and live like you don't have a father and want to blame some earthly father when your heavenly father said, I've adopted you. I love you. You're my child. I want to show you why I created you. I want to show you how to live victoriously. I'm going to show you how to love me and love others and make disciples. So, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. God, forgive us as flawed men and women of God, flawed fathers. That needs to be the next organization created, flawed fathers, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the mistakes we made knowingly and unknowingly with our kids, Lord. With our wife, with our family. Lord, forgive us, and we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a second chance to do it right. And as we recognize that you are our Father, we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can reflect you, Lord, the mercy, the grace, the love, the compassion, the light, the salt. So, God, as we ask for forgiveness of our sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, as we rededicate our hearts to connect with your heart, to not make excuses, but to live this life that you've called us to, the highest level of biblical manhood and womanhood, God. Give us the wisdom. Let us get in your word daily so we can follow the plan. Thank you, Lord, for challenging us this morning not to be the same. Especially as we try our best to navigate in a world that needs you so much. And you've equipped us and called us and you've sent us out, Lord. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be dismayed. We need you today more than ever. Bless your people. And let us be strong and do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So with this being Father's Day, well, let's thank God once again for all the fathers.